Good morning. I want to say good morning. How are we doing? Wilshire Live, good morning to you as well. My name is Pastor Rob, and excited to be preaching. And this, we're taking a little break from the center, and we have a three-part sermon series called RSVP, and God's invitation and our response. And so we're going to break down, many of you have grown up in church, it's the great commandment, the greatest commandments. And so that we're, things often in life are complicated, aren't they? That life can be very complicated. It can be full of lots of decisions and different things in our lives. And so we're hoping to make the complicated simple and to simplify things. Because our life's filled with, I mean, tax returns and, you know, Sudoku puzzles and all these Facebook relationship status. Things are complicated. Who to vote for? All of these things, we're bombarded with decision after decision. And what do we do? And what we want to do in this three-part series is make the complicated simple. That following Jesus is simple. Now, and I'm not saying it's always easy, but following Jesus, there's a simple commandment that he gives, is to love God and to love others as yourself. And so we're going to look at that and explore that here this morning. But would you do this with me? We're going to read this, the greatest commandments. And so we're just going to read it. If we could start on the screen. This is from Mark 12. If we could just read this together. Can we do that, church? Okay, we'll begin with, "Hear, O Israel." Let's read this together. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. There is no commandment greater than these." Amen. It's fun to read God's word together. And that's really what we're going to focus on today, is loving God. And so really today's sermon title is All In. All In, if you're taking notes. And that's really the call that we have to live our lives, is to be all in. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody? And you know, and maybe we've done this, where you're not all in, or you notice the person isn't all in, and you're talking to them and their eyes are looking somewhere else, or they're just daydreaming or maybe falling asleep, and you know somebody's not all in. What would our lives look like if we were all in for maybe our families, our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our students, our teachers, and different, our friends? What would our lives look like in our friendships, in relationships, if we were all in? And then imagine what our lives would look like if we were all in with God, who loved, the God of the universe, who loves you and is crazy about you. What would our lives look like if we were all in with everything we had? But first, before we get into, I want us to look at one part of the passage before we start to dive into this a little bit. As we read, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then it goes in, "Love the Lord your God." Our God. And do you notice that? That our God, your God. He is our God. The God of the universe now becomes our God. And who is God? God is love. It's not just something that God is loving. Yes, God is loving, but God, by his very definition, is love. And this God reveals himself to us, and so he is our God, and we get to see that here in the text. And some of us might have different misconceptions about God. Maybe we have viewed God as a disciplinarian. And does God teach us and discipline us? Yes. But the definition, God in his very nature is love, and everything that flows out of him is love. And so discipline and structure and his wisdom all flows out of his love for us. So my hope is, as we hear and God is telling us to love him, may we know that he's our God, our Father. As we've looked at in previous weeks, Abba, Dad, Daddy. This is the God that's calling us to love. This is to love him. This is the God that says, I want you all in because I want all of you. I have revealed myself completely and fully to you in your life, and I want all of your heart. And so that's what he calls us here in this text. But what's maybe sometimes keeping us from going all in? Do you feel like sometimes maybe in following God that you're on the sideline of things? There's this story, Admiral Rickover years back was an admiral that he brought in, and he, I believe it was the Navy, and brought up and raised up lots of different cadets and always picked a very well-respected, brilliant admiral, and always brought up young, the kind of the sharpest and the brightest of the bright. If that makes sense, brightest of the bright. But he brought in the most intelligent cadets, and he was responsible for training them. And so he brings in this one cadet, and he says, he's interviewing him, and this cadet reflects on this time back, and he goes in, and he says, he interviews, and he's just rambling for about 2 hours, trying to prove to this admiral why he should get picked. And so he's just going on and on, and he's trying to show the admiral how much he knows about life and just how smart he is, and he's going on. And then at the end of the two-hour conversation, the admiral begins to ask him questions. And this man, reflecting on his past, goes back and says, man, I realized with his questions during those 2 hours, I knew nothing of what I was talking about during those 2 hours. He was just so smart. He was asking me these deep questions, and I had no idea. But the man reflects and he says, but there was one question I remember him asking that haunted me, and it was almost life-changing for years. And he said, all of your days, the admiral looked at him and said, all of your days in school, he said, and all of your training and everything, did you give your very best? He said, did you try your hardest? Did you give your best? And the man wanted to say, you know, yes, I did. But then when he really thought about it, he said, no, you know what? I didn't always give my best. And the admiral looked at him and said, why not? Why not your very best? And so that began to be a life-changing point for this man. And many of us might know him as our 39th president, Jimmy Carter, who had that moment, that day, he decided, why not give my very best in everything I do? That moment shaped his life as he began and led a long, just successful tenure and going off to be a president. It was that moment, that question, why not your very best? And so we're posed with that question here this morning. Why not your very best for God? Maybe my prayer is that this might even be from the scriptures, not from what I'm saying this morning, that this might be a call for you to go all in following God. So let's break this down a little bit. And what does it mean? Let's look at some of these heart, soul, mind, and strength. And really, we can, and in Wilshire's history, we have broken down each one, and rightfully so, a whole sermon on heart and soul and mind and strength. And man, you could have multiple sermons just on each one alone. But this morning, we're going to do a little bit of a flyby. And so I encourage you to continue to study this and the depth and the richness of this. But we'll do a little bit of a flyby thinking about what does it mean to go all in. So let's look at the heart. The heart. God says to love me with all of your heart. Everything. I love this, if we could pull up on the screen, Psalm 86, 11 and 12. We'll just do that. So it says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. Think about a whole heart. When you're all in, and in your heart, when our hearts get divided, we're split, and oh, well, I like this, and I want to do this. And so God says, I want you to love me with all of your heart. And as the psalm goes on, I will praise you, Lord, my God. With all my heart, I will glorify your name. Hey, what I love about the psalm, that the psalmist writes that, teach me to praise you. Teach me to love you with an undivided heart. I realize my heart is divided. My heart gets split up into multiple avenues, and I chase different things. And so really, we can approach God and ask him to teach us to love him with everything we have. And so why our heart? Let's think about heart, passion, our desire. It's almost fun that God says, love me with all of your heart. Enjoy me. God isn't just an uptight God saying, you have to do this and do this. And he says, I want you to love me. Enjoy me. Passion, what is your passion? That you would use your passion, your life passion, to love God. Now, a way to think about heart, I thought about this as I was heading down to go to San Diego to go to school right after I graduated high school. And I had quite a few friends that were mentioning to me, oh, there's this girl that we, in my hometown, we had two high schools. I was at one and a lot of my friends were at the other one. And they said, hey, there's this girl that, man, you would be perfect for. You're gonna love her. She's going to your same school. And I said, okay, like, and they're like, yeah, she's smart, she was valedictorian, she's beautiful, you have to meet her. And I was just kind of like, yeah, okay, thanks, guys. And it was just kind of what was going on there. They were giving me facts about her. She's beautiful, she's valedictorian, she's kind, sweet, all of these different things. They were giving me facts. It was in my head, and so I just said, okay, that's great. And I just didn't think anything of it. But as I go down and I get to meet this woman and get to meet her, then it was like, oh, okay, you know? And you start to see what everyone's talking about. But then it's just, that's even just a portion of it. Then when I really started to get to know her and learn about her and see what makes her tick, then my heart really began to be all in. And it went from, oh, that's nice, and you can ask Jamie sometimes. And when I first got to meet her, I was just kind of like, yeah, I was trying to play cool, you know, and just, I wasn't cool, I was just a punk. And she luckily still continued to give me grace and forgive me for just, I was a jerk, simply put. But once I truly began to fall in love with her, man, there wasn't anything that I wouldn't do for her. I began investing my time, my money, my energy, my thoughts. You know, I should be studying and I'm thinking about this woman and I'm just like, man, something, you know, your heart starts to flutter. God says, I want that. I want you to be all in. I want you to think about me, the way you spend your money, the way you run around town. I want your mind to be occupied with me. Like, and maybe think of your first relationship or somebody you love or a child or spouse or a friend that you just care so deeply about. God says, I want that. I want you to love me and be all in. Now, our soul can be sometimes a complicated thing, yet it can be very simple. And sometimes, you know, Looney Tunes, you remember the old cartoons that when a character would die, this little poof would come up, and that was the soul. But really, our soul is our whole being. Our inward thoughts, our emotions, our everything combined, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our soul is all of it combined. What do you worry about? Your thoughts, who you are, and do you go all in with all of your soul? It's kind of your inward being, your inner life. We show who we are on the outside, but we have an inward thought process. The things we think about and who we are and just our frustrations with friends, with God, with our emotions, our anger, our anxiety. These things that are inward inside of us, but they begin to play out as we live life, don't they? And sometimes they show. They show when our soul gets tired and our soul gets fatigued. Vince Lombardi and many people have quoted, whether it's Shakespeare or many others, that fatigue is, I forget the exact quote, but fatigue makes cowards of us all, right? Fatigue makes cowards of us all. So when we're tired, when our soul is tired, we end up being cowards. We end up not giving it our all. We end up running away from a fight. And so when we love God with our soul, we're giving thing everything we have. And we'll come back to that more another day, but I want to move on to our mind. Do you trust, when it says that we love God with all of our mind, do we love God with everything that we have? And do we trust that God is working even behind the scenes? Do you trust that God is wiser, he's smarter, he knows best for our lives? But do you find yourself worrying? In political season, in our presidential election coming up, we've been talking about how we worry about this. Do we trust that no matter who wins this upcoming election, that God is in control? Yes, we fight, and yes, we vote, and yes, we get involved in politics. But do we trust that God is in control? Do we trust that even when things seem like chaos and our world's falling apart, do we trust that he's still working behind the scenes and he's actually working through everything? Does your mind trust that? Because sometimes we get anxious and our soul and our heart, get worried and maybe highly emotional. But your mind can keep you steady and say, no, I know that God is good. This might seem scary right now, but no, I've seen God provide. I know that God will provide. And so we have to remind ourselves. And we have to remind each other. And that's why we come to church. That's why we're just not all in front of computer screens and just getting messages. We need the community. We need the body of Christ to encourage each other and to say, no, you will be okay. God is in control. And God will take care of you. And now here's another thing that we can love God with our mind. We don't just simply follow God with blind faith. You can follow God intellectually. And so maybe you're here today and you're just checking things out. And maybe some of you, or maybe you have heard often arguments of, well, I can't really believe in God because I'm a rational thinker. Right? Have you heard this on internet blogs or different things that explain people saying, well, I wanted to explore and I looked deep into faith and I'm looking into science and I'm just learning and learning. And at the end of the day, the conclusion I've come to, the best conclusion is there is no God. I've discovered that. Have you heard people say that? They're saying, I've reasoned, I've deducted, I've used it, everything. There is no proof for God. And really, this is a theory of exclusive rationality, that you can come to a conclusion by having empirical evidence, that because you can figure out everything, you can put only your hope, your faith, your trust in, and what you can actually prove. So if I can't physically prove God, then therefore he doesn't exist. Yet there's flaws in that thinking. And even the wisest philosophers that might consider themselves atheists say, you can't actually, if you go down that journey, there's a fault in that thinking. Because if you're saying, I only put my faith in, I only trust and live out things that I can empirically prove, well, where's the empirical proof for that? How do you prove that statement? And then another problem that goes on is that you have to realize that as you're looking at things in life, there's a lot of proof. You don't have proof for a lot of things. So for justice, for fighting for good causes, we do a lot of things in our life there's no empirical evidence for. To be a good person, where's the proof of these things? There's a lot of things in our life that we don't have physical proof and you can't measure inside a laboratory, but you believe it and you still act on it. So there's this exclusive rationality that we can't always trust in everything. Now, but let me say this. You don't have to follow, you don't have to check your brain at the door as you follow God. There are so many just rich, one with the text that I encourage you to explore more. And there's so many ways that you can intellectually follow God. And we have so many resources for you if you would love to check that out. And if you want to grow in that area, we would love to challenge you and love to push you. So I encourage you to follow God with your mind. And now, lastly, but not the last point, strength. I like this one. That you would follow God with all of your strength. And really what I think so cool about this one is that God calls you to just go all in. And so whether your physical strength is there or your physical strength, our bodies fail. But God says, I want you to give me everything you have. I want all of your energy. I want all of your strength. I want whatever you have, give it to me. So is it your mind? Is it your passion? What strength? What can you get passionate about? What can you be on fire for? And I've loved at Wilshire is just so many different people are serving with whatever gifts and abilities they have. I love that. I love that we get to worship God with our strength. We worship God out of strength. It's so interesting. It's a contradiction in the Bible. We come and we worship God out of strength, yet we realize that we're weak. But when we realize that we're weak and that he is strong, then we have all the strength in the world. And so he calls us to do that. He says, be passionate about me and love me with every ounce of strength that you have. Whether it's your physical ability or your mental strength, just give it all to God. And what I love about this, I often think about this. Some of you might know the X-Men, right? The Juggernaut, a Marvel comic. Some of you are like, X-Men in church, really? Yep, I'm going here. But really, so the Juggernaut is, he's this villain, and he's got superhuman strength. And what he does often, he's got this helmet, and it says this, and looking, I looked some of this up in some of the comics. I wasn't a big comic fan, but I would just watch a little cartoons as a kid. I'm not going to lie. I liked it. But it says this, the Juggernaut, he has superhuman strength, being capable of shattering mountains, lifting and using buildings as weapons. He has extreme durability. And so what he would often do in these cartoons and comics, he would just get so strong and he would just run through walls and destroy things. Like it says, he'd pick up buildings. And it made me begin to think, as Christians, we're juggernauts. We're not villains, but we have juggernaut strength. The scriptures say the same power that rose Christ from death to life is inside of you. Now, we might be weak, our bodies might be weak, yet God is strong. And so we have this juggernaut strength where when there's an obstacle in our way, that we can just plow through that wall. And I love that. I don't know why. Maybe it's the teenage boy still in me. I love that image of an obstacle, a brick wall, and it's facing there. And everyone says, you can't do it, you can't do it. I can do it because I have a God who can't. Oh, I might have stepped out. Well, sir, live. I'm back. There we are. But we have a God that we can plow through those walls. And here's the thing. Are you all in? Do you worry? Sometimes I worry about that wall. I worry, well, God, you're calling me to run through that wall. Whatever that wall is, maybe an obstacle in your life, something he's calling you to do. Maybe it's a bold step of faith with your finances. Maybe it's a way of serving. I don't know what it is for you exactly, but sometimes there's these walls and we think that we can't overcome them. My hope is that we would trust in the strength that we have in Christ, that we can just plow through those walls. In certain things in life, I think why we hold back is we're afraid what's going to happen if that wall doesn't break, right? If you're running full speed, if I decide to run full speed for that wall, having faith that that wall is going to break, and it doesn't, that's going to hurt. I mean, you're going to see me next week just like a smash face, bloody nose, right? There's no returning from that. But But there is. Because I have to trust the same God that can allow me to break through a wall. If I hit that wall and smash into pieces, won't I trust that that same God can pick me up and put me back together? He can put you back together. So maybe you're holding yourself back from something God's calling you to do, and you're, well, what if I get hurt? Trust that there's a God that, one, not only can knock down that wall when it seems impossible, and if he chooses not to knock down that wall, he will pick you up. He will put you back together because he is a God of love who doesn't want to harm his children. And if he has to pick you back up, there's going to be a great lesson to learn in that. Sometimes, right, we need a little humility. It might be good for me to show up with a broken, I don't want to say that, and I'm going to have a broken nose coming to church. Who knows? But right, sometimes we need that. And so sometimes it's actually good for us to get involved and to go all in. Now, so it's so interesting growing up. I found myself learning as a young kid to skateboard, to surf, to wakeboard. My mom used to always tease me. I had a wakeboard, but we didn't even have a boat. And she's like, "What do you?" I just go around to everyone like, "Oh, you got a boat? Let me go wakeboarding with you." And so I love different sports with a board. And then when I was coming to San Diego, everyone's like, "Well, you're gonna surf and you're gonna love surfing." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna love surfing. You put a board and I'm gonna love it." But what I started to realize, I didn't like surfing at all. I got out there. You know, I always looked at surfers. Surfers are always kind of like, "Hey man, how's it going?" You know, just kind of laid back. So I figured it was a laid back sport. But I realized why surfers are so laid back. It is hard work. Do any of you surf? It is, or have surfed? It's hard work. I mean, you're going out there, the waves are going this way, and you have to go this way. I mean, right there, that's not a good idea. You're trying to go this way, and the waves are taking you. So by the time you get out there, like, exhausted. And then the wave starts to come, and I don't like anyone telling me what to do. I'm just kidding. But the waves are there, and they tell you, like, you have to go now. You don't get to choose when you want to go. And then when you're surfing, you're going, and the wave starts to curl, and your board starts to go down like this. And if you want to stand up, you have to get on the board. You can't just, I mean, imagine, what if you just kind of went, "Well, I'm just going to go 1 foot in and try and surf this." You know, you just wipe out. In surfing, I realized it was hard work, and you had to be all in. And a lot of times to catch the best waves, you had to get up at 6 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning. I was like, "No thanks. Not for me." But I see that. And when you see somebody that's like these pro surfers that just carve the waves and they do beautiful things, that took a lot of hard work. And so what we see is that God calls us to dive fully in. Are you all in this morning? Because here's the thing. The reality is we might fail. As I'm preaching this, you might say, "Man, I haven't been all in." And the reality is that the scriptures say either you're all in or you're not at all. There is no, you can't surf with 1 foot on and 1 foot off. I mean, maybe once you get going. But you can't try and halfway get on the board. You can't halfway follow God. There isn't, and if you're here and exploring who Jesus is, please, you are welcome here. You are loved, and continue to explore. At the very same time, I don't want to fool anybody. And if you come to church and just coming to church, like I said last week, going to Pizza Hut doesn't make you a pizza. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You come to church and you grow. You have to invest. But the reality is, if you're like me, sometimes I'm not all in. There's times where I'm weak and I'm failing. I love in Mark 9, there's a story where Jesus, this man is asking to heal this boy, and Jesus says, "Do you believe?" And the man says, "I do believe, but Lord, help my unbelief." Help my unbelief. That is a cry that we get to cry out to God. God, I do believe. God, I do want to go all in. help me to go fully in for you. Because here's the thing, friends, that Jesus went all in for us, even, and he fills and he lacks all of our imperfections, our sin, where we are not perfect, Jesus was perfect. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. The reason we are able to love God, the reason we are able to love others is because God first loved us. God sent his son to die on the cross to take your place. The Bible says that we all should die for our sins and be removed from God forever. But Jesus died on the cross so that we can be restored with him and brought in a relationship with God. And God went all in, and he went all in on the cross. Because he said, these are my children. I do not want to abandon them. I do not want to forsake them. And he died on the cross to bring us back to the family. Because we've wandered, we've gone astray, and our hearts really aren't all in. But God went all in for you because of his love for you, and he calls you to love him. Not out of duty or obligation, but out of freedom and joy because of God's great love for you. So he invites you. RSVP, the invitation is here today. He died on the cross for you. He loved you. He chose you out of eternity, and he had you in mind. And now, how will you reply? Will you respond? What's your response this morning? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your great love, that you love us, that you are crazy about us. And Lord, the invitation is here, is open. Lord, I pray that maybe even some would pray with me now. God, I confess I'm not all in all the time. Lord, would you change my heart? May I love you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. God, would you give me faith where I lack faith? God, would you help me love you? Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you brought me back to you. May I trust that here this morning. Lord, and where I'm weak and where I lack this, may you give me faith. May I begin to love you, live a life where I'm all in. I want to follow you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. God, may I love you with everything I have. Father, may we ask this morning, why not the best? Why not the best for the very best? You are the best, God. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.